Talk Radio, take it from us. Just got a little bit too much volume there, but that's Joe Cocker, his track called Respect Yourself. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran.
Trying to drown you out there.
Trying to drown me out, that's all right. And Mental Health Radio is brought to you and funded by the Ember Wellbeing Trust. We're very grateful to Ember Wellbeing Trust for renewing its commitment to Mental Health Radio for another 2 years through to 2022. And today we're going to introduce a new feature, which we will talk about a little bit later. But the show, most of the show today, is about generic mental health medications as against the labelled medications. So we've taken quite an interest in this issue. For about 2 years, there's been a debate about branded and generic mental health medications and reactions from volumes of users that there are side effects from the generic replacements. In October 2018, this radio show covered the issue when the Effexor branded antidepressant was replaced with a generic called Enlifax. So that was a change from Effexor through to a generic called Enlifax. We said at the time in a broadcast in 2018, a generic antidepressant is grabbing headlines for all the wrong reasons as complaints mount to authorities about Enlifax, a replacement for one of the most common antidepressants in New Zealand. Both New Zealand's mainstream television channels had run stories detailing serious side effects of the replacement antidepressant, and so far Pharmac has received at least 240 complaints about it. Now this is going back to 2018. A Facebook group was formed at that time with 800 members called Enlifax Problems with Medication Brand Change New Zealand. And that Facebook page outlined experiences with the generic drug, and a petition had been mounted by a Sarah McRae seeking a public inquiry into Pharmac's patient safety protocols for generic medication. At that time, the Facebook group was also working on a combined complaint to the Health and Disability Commissioner. So that's how we introduced the issue in 2018. The trend to use generic mental health medications has probably gained momentum. But there are still ongoing worries which are reflected in Facebook comments. The trend to use generic mental health medications has continued with ongoing worries about their effectiveness among some users. Today we talk to Pharmac's Deputy Medical Director, Dr. Peter Murray, to gain insights into this trend. Dr. Murray, welcome to Mental Health Radio. Take it from us.
Kia ora, Sheldon, and also kia ora koutou to your listeners, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Wonderful. So why is there a move to generics, not only in mental health, but I guess in medicine generally?
So generic medicines are expert copies of medicines made by companies that don't develop the original drug. And generic medicines have the same active ingredient, and they are absorbed in the same way and work in the same way as the original medication. And before a medicine is considered a generic, it undergoes thorough testing and assessment by another organisation called MedSafe. That's not part of Pharmac. That sits within the Ministry of Health, and their job is to assess medicines and medicine safety. And as I said, MedSafe assesses a medicine to see if they are generic and in accordance with international best practice and to the highest standard. So I think your listeners can be reassured that when a medicine is considered generic, it has gone through a very robust process to be determined to be a generic. And so that's quite distinct from Pharmac's role. And our job at Pharmac is to make sure we can fund more medicine for more New Zealanders. And generic medicines are a key way that we can do this because they allow us to buy this, have the reassurance that we're buying the same medication, the generic medication, and that's been reassured by MedSafe. And that we can, by doing that, we can actually get cheaper, a cheaper product, and that allows us to free up some money so that we can invest in new medicines and other medicines and widen access so Kiwis can have access to more medicines. And that's what we're into. That's what our business is.
So how many mental health medications have been involved, say, in the past 12 months?
In the past 12 months, there have been four key mental health medications that have undergone what we call a brand change. Now, brand change, just for your listeners, is involves before Pharmac makes a decision to have a brand change, we have to be reassured first that MedSafe says this product is a generic product, and then what we then do is go to our group of expert advisors who are on our expert advisory network. And these are experts who treat patients with the conditions that we're talking about, with the medication that we're talking about. And they are external to Pharmac, and they are key advisors to us. And before we make a brand change, we make sure that our expert advisors have said that this is appropriate and safe to do. So that's a really key point. So the first touch is to make sure that MedSafe has approved this drug, so that's the first hurdle. Once MedSafe, it's gone through that rigorous process, it then comes back to Pharmac. Pharmac can then consider whether it's appropriate to have a brand change, and our expert advisors tell us if it's appropriate or not. And brand changes are really common in New Zealand, and around 60 brand changes occur each year across the board. But in the medicines, in the mental health space, there have been four key brand changes. First, the first one has been Lamotrigine, which I think we're going to discuss later on. And that's used as a mood stabilizer in bipolar disorder, but also in epilepsy, fluoxetine, paroxetine, and sertraline. And all of those three medicines, as you know, are SSRI medicines.
So if we started with fluoxetine, it is quite a revelation to me in doing a little bit of research about this, that this was previously a branded medication, very common, probably the most common antidepressant and anti-anxiety drug in New Zealand, Prozac. I've got that right?
The original brand of was Prozac, yes. And that hasn't been funded in New Zealand for over 10 years.
Wow, that's amazing because, you know, the brand is still used very commonly, isn't it? People refer to Prozac. People that are taking it refer to Prozac. But it hasn't been a labelled or branded medication for 10 years?
It hasn't been funded by Pharmac for over 10 years.
Wow. So how did that brand of Prozac continue in the marketplace, so well known and referred to so often?
So as Pharmac's role, when we make a decision to have a brand change, we often move to one brand. And so we move to a generic. And just to note, with respect to fluoxetine, or which the original brand was Prozac, there was a brand change occurring. We were moving from one generic to another, and we're actually moving back to a generic that's previously been funded in New Zealand. So people might be familiar with the brand called Fluox.
Right. So this is a situation where you're actually moving now from one generic to another, which has previously been used in New Zealand, which is the one that you refer to, Fluox.
Correct. And I can also say for sertraline and fluoxetine that we're moving from one generic to another too. Paroxetine.
Okay. Well, there's a danger here that we can get a bit confused about this. If we talk about fluoxetine, I think it's not a new drug, is it? Fluox has previously been used in New Zealand, but it is being introduced. The Fluox is being introduced this month, June.
At the start of June, it won one of the formulations of fluoxetine. It has moved to being the only funded brand, and I think it's September this year. The other the capsule formulation is a brand change occurring.
So this is a situation where people can choose between a dispersible tablet or a they're both called dispersible tablets. A capsule. So you have a choice between a tablet or a capsule.
Both the capsule and the dispersible tablet will be funded. Yes,
they will be
fully funded, and they will be the Fluox brand.
Yeah. I mean, this is a personal issue with me going way back when there was an option for an antidepressant that I was taking. Whether this was real or not, it seemed real to me that the capsule was far more effective than the tablet. But I'm sure you'll tell me that there is absolutely no difference.
I think the key thing, they're both funded and they're both available for people, depending on how, because I think they're both available for people to use in accordance and in a discussion with their prescriber.
Right. So is it the capsule or the tablet that's going to be, it has been already released in New Zealand?
So the dispersible tablet changed to Fluox from Arrow Fluoxetine to Fluox in June, the 1st of June. And from 1st of September, the capsule will change to the Fluox brand.
Right. So we have another one on the agenda, sertraline. That's occurring this month as well, I understand.
No, that occurred in the 1st of March, and there was a move from Arrow sertraline to Sertrona brand. And again, both brands are generic. So it'll mean a change from a different generic brand to another generic brand.
Right. On that Enlafax Facebook page, or I think it's the Venlafaxine Facebook page, there was one expression of concern, and I appreciate that one is very minimal about the switch from sertraline to a generic. Has there been any sort of feedback to Pharmac about this change?
We've received a few inquiries from people taking sertraline and concerned about the brand change. And I suppose what's really important from my perspective for your listeners to hear is that this decision is based on expert advice that the brand change is appropriate. And if they do have any concerns about the new brand, to go speak to their healthcare practitioner, their doctor, their nurse, their prescriber about this. That's the first point of call. Don't stop taking it. Go talk to your prescriber first, please.
Right. So, and you're confident that the prescribers are well versed on this? Because again, I do have some personal experience here where when I went to my doctor to talk to him about the change from Effexor to Enlafax, I said, you know, Peter, you're probably likely to get a few comments, some feedback, some inquiry about this. And I asked him, is Effexor still available either to purchase or to take? And he said, well, I'll ring my pharmacy straight away. And there's a neighbouring pharmacy in the same building. He did that and he reassured me that, yes, Effexor was available and there would be a cost. And I said, well, that's what I'd like you to prescribe. So you're confident that the prescribers, the GPs, are up to speed on these changes?
We know brand changes can be difficult for some people. And a part of our expert advice process is actually to figure out how we can best support people changing brands. And that's including the consumers, patients taking these medicines, but also healthcare practitioners. And we're always trying to improve. Brand changes are a core part of what we do, and we do them well. As I mentioned, there are over 60 occurring each year. And we're always in trying to improve our process and to make sure that the right people have the right information when you're moving from one brand to the other. So, but I can say that this is something we're always trying to improve on, particularly how we can improve our communications to patients too and consumers, and have that feedback into our decision making processes, so that future brand changes can just get better and better and be less impactful on patients moving forward.
You mentioned one other that I don't think we put on our agenda to discuss today. Was that paroxetine, did you say?
Yes, paroxetine.
So have I overlooked that in our discussions about changes in generic mental health medications?
No, that was highlighted in your question sent to us previously. So that again, like sertraline, on March this year, we moved from one generic brand to another. So from apoparoxetine to the loxamine brand.
Right.
And as far as that brand change is concerned, we haven't actually had any feedback from people taking that medicine that have had any challenges.
I see. Okay, so the last drug that we were going to talk about was lamotrigine, which treats epilepsy, and I understand is also a mood stabiliser and used to address bipolar disorder. I gather and understand that this attracted quite a bit of publicity, and there were some serious outcomes in terms of the area of treatment of epilepsy. What's the latest here, Dr. Murray?
Sure. So last year, October last year, there was a decision made after expert advice from our expert advisors and also MedSafe having assessed the medicine to be a generic. We moved from funding three brands of lamotrigine to funding one called Logim. Now, Logim is used extensively around the world, about 80 million dispensings a year, tablets dispensed a year, across countries like Australia, Canada, and the United Kingdom. And so, as you mentioned, there's about 12,000 people who take lamotrigine each year in New Zealand, and it's a mix of, as you said, treatment of epilepsy, but also as a mood stabiliser in bipolar disorder. Following the decision to move to the one funded brand of lamotrigine, or Logim was the funded brand, we received a lot of media coverage, as you might remember, and concern about the move from three brands to one. And we were really concerned at Pharmac. We want brand changes to be successful and seamless for patients. And we were really concerned following that heightened awareness around the brand change that people were not confident in taking the medication, that also people might stop taking the medication. And so we made the decision, about a month after moving to the one brand to widen access to our lamotrigine exceptional circumstances pathway. And this meant that if a patient could go talk to their prescriber, their GP or their neurologist or their psychiatrist, and if they were having problems with the brand change, that we would fund the original brand that they were on. And again, we were doing this because we were really worried that patients could be negatively impacted and have negative outcomes from this brand change. And so that since that time, and so the latest data I have, is about 9,000 people have transitioned to the new brand, and we have had about 3,000 people have stayed on their original brand.
So the new brand, Dr. Murray, just give us that again, the name of that?
It's called Logim, and it's been assessed by MedSafe to be a generic medicine to the original brand, which was called Lamictal. And as I said, it's used extensively internationally with about 80 million units dispensed each year around the world.
And any outcomes around the world similar to those that seem to occur in New Zealand?
Not that we're aware of at all, no.
Right. So communicating these changes, I mean, I've been involved in mental health broadcasting for 13 years, and maybe I've just overlooked the issue where Prozac has become a generic and then become another generic. And yet, you know, I make the point that Prozac is commonly used, you know, in publicity, media, that sort of thing. Is it important to Pharmac to have that name correct and that, you know, perceptions about Prozac still being in the market be sort of eliminated, if you like?
Prozac as a brand is not funded by Pharmac. But it is common in instances like this where there is a market for the brand, the original brand of medicine, for it to stay available in New Zealand. And so, but what we can't do at Pharmac is actually guarantee that there will be a supply of that, nor can we guarantee the price of it. So it's not uncommon to have the original brand still in the market, but not funded.
So that is the case with Effexor or the Venlafaxine. Well, it's been quite a debate around the Venlafaxine antidepressant medications, and that is the one that is real to me. So, I mean, I guess I would appreciate some assurance that Effexor is going to continue to be available. But I did see on your website that you can only guarantee those branded medications being available if there is sufficient demand.
So Pharmac, because we don't hold a contract for the Effexor brand of Venlafaxine, we actually can't guarantee a price or that will be available at your pharmacy. And I think the key thing for your listeners, if you do want to stay on a particular brand of medication that's not funded by Pharmac, the healthcare practitioner to talk to is your pharmacist to see if they can confirm the price and availability.
Right. Does Pharmac do any research on how many people stay with these branded antidepressants as against going on to the generics?
No, we don't.
Well, it's just a matter of having an assurance about those branded antidepressants. I guess Prozac is an example. Effexor is another example. I'm sure there are others. Is there not a guarantee, but an assurance that these drugs will be available to those that want to use them and pay for them?
So Pharmac can reassure people that we want the funded medications, that we can guarantee the stock and availability of that. That's our role, and that we can make sure that they're available for patients taking them. We cannot guarantee the ones that are not funded, the brands that are not funded. And as I said, the best person to talk to around that, if you are wanting to stay on a particular brand, is your pharmacist.
Right, so if Pharmac doesn't fund Effexor or Prozac, so you can't really provide any assurances. I mean, what process happens there if demand drops away significantly, that branded medication could well disappear?
That's a decision for the pharmaceutical company based on the commercial viability of it. Yeah, so that sits with the pharmaceutical company, not with Pharmac.
Right. How do you think they might communicate that? I mean, I know there's a bit of conjecture there, but I'm sure with your experience in this field, would you know how they might communicate the discontinuation of a antidepressant?
I think the key thing is that the pharmacist is going to be the best placed person to actually inform you of that, and they will know of any they will be informed of any potential discontinuation. So again, I think it's the importance of checking with your pharmacist about availability and price if you are on wanting to continue on a particular brand.
Can I share with you, Dr. Murray, my last experience in picking up my effects or antidepressant, and I'm only taking a very, very minor amount per week. But the pharmacist actually made his own decision as to which drug I was going to get, even though it was prescribed as Effexor. And so when I walked in, I said, "Sheldon Brown, I'd like to pick up my medications, please." And he said, "Oh, yes, that's such and such and Enlifax." And I said, "No, it's not Enlifax. It was prescribed as Effexor." I was concerned because I thought there was a sort of a there was a perception here that this was a mental health medication. Some mental health patients or clients can't afford the branded medication, and so he had made an arbitrary decision to provide Enlifax to me. So I was not happy, I'm afraid.
I suppose the key thing that I can understand you'd be unhappy about that, particularly when you've requested a particular brand, it speaks also to the fact that these medicines are generic medicines, and they do have the same active ingredient, and they do work, are absorbed in the same way and do work in the same way as the original brand. So I think what's really important, though, if you are wanting a branded medication, is A, to make sure that's communicated to your pharmacist like you did, and also to make sure it's really clear that when you're getting it prescribed that a particular brand is being requested, so that that doesn't happen again.
Right, yeah, well, I did definitely require Effexor with my GP, and of course the script then goes to the pharmacist. I suspect the pharmacist, who was, I think, just a temporary there, made an arbitrary decision. These generics do have, and I tried to find the word, apart from the basic ingredient, which is the same active ingredient, which is stated on the website, on the Pharmac website, there are some other ingredients in generic medications. They're called exogens or something, are they? Is that the right word?
Excipients.
I think
the critical thing is that when a medicine is assessed as being a generic medicine, it has the same active ingredient. There might be other components of it that are subtly different, but it, to be assessed as a generic, it has to actually be rigorously tested to make sure it's absorbed in the same way and that it gets to the same blood levels as the original brand. And that is a thorough assessment process that is undertaken by MedSafe to make sure that they are can be considered a generic medicine.
Right. So one of the main thrusts of this move to generics is for Pharmac to save money so that they have more money to look out for Kiwis and be able to invest in other medications. That's the situation?
I think the critical thing about generic medicines is that, you know, before we make a move or a brand change, we always need to make sure that, A, the medicine has been approved by MedSafe and undergone the rigorous testing at MedSafe to be considered a generic. And B, we want to make sure that a brand change is safe and appropriate. And we're not best placed to make that decision. We need our experts who treat patients to make that decision for us. And if they say it's not appropriate or safe, we don't go there.
Right.
We need to have that clinical reassurance before we make a decision that it's safe and appropriate to do so. And that allows us to achieve our ultimate goal, which is actually to get better health, get more medicines for more Kiwis. And that's what we're interested in. And making sure brand changes are successful is what we're about.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Murray, for your time. It's a pleasure to be able to get a clear indication about generic medications from Pharmac, and I have covered this issue in the past, and so it's very good to be able to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
So we're back live. That interview with the Deputy Medical Director of Pharmac, Dr. Peter Murray, was recorded yesterday. Pharmac, of course, is the New Zealand government agency that decides which medicines are funded in New Zealand. So if there's any response from listeners to Dr. Murray's comments or any comments that I may have made, you can email me at sheldon.brown@ember.com www.mentalhealth.org.nz, or you could text me on 021 976 564. Now, we mentioned a new feature which we're going to go to after a music break. We're all set to go to play some music.
I'm playing one that I played for those that were listening late last year when I did those two little shows on my own while you were skulking around on Waiheke Island. This one's from George Harrison and it's called What Is Life. You're listening to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday live from 12:30 through to 1:30 on Planet FM 104.6. George Harrison, of course, from the Beatles. When he went out on his own there, that was his track, What Is Life?
Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm host Sheldon Brown, and you're just hearing there from technician Declan Curran. Now, as we've signalled, we're introducing a new feature to Mental Health Radio. Take it from us today. It's we're calling it Headlines in Mental Health, and we're hoping to have a guest appearance each week by broadcaster and mental health consumer advocate James King. So, James, you're there for us?
Should be.
Try that.
Yep, there you go. You can hear us and we can hear you, which is a good sign.
Still had you on hold.
Yeah. How are you today, James?
I'm excellent, thank you, Sheldon. How are you?
Yeah, no, pretty good. The day started beautifully bright, and then there was a huge inversion and fog everywhere, and now it's pretty clear. So Auckland's doing okay.
Good, good.
So how are the headlines in mental health this week?
Well, I think the key headline is a story about a gentleman 4 years ago who passed away as a result of clozapine-induced constipation. And he died back in 2016, and the coroner has come out and said that there more needs to be done to make people aware of the complications or side effects of the drug clozapine, which is, an antipsychotic, which is considered the Rolls Royce of antipsychotics to deal with symptoms of schizophrenia and so on. But there are a myriad of side effects to this drug, including hypertension, fever, dizziness, headache, nausea, sedated state, vomiting, a whole raft of other side effects as well. So it's a fairly powerful and high octane drug.
So obviously constipation is one of those side effects which may have been missed in terms of this particular case where the coroner was reporting on this patient's death.
Yes, well the coroner has said quite clearly that more needs to be done by physicians to make people aware of the possible complications of using this drug, which is a powerful drug, and that people, as I say, are kept informed as to what the possible side effects are of that drug.
Well, we've been talking to Pharmac's Deputy Medical Director, Dr. Peter Murray, about the generics that are progressively being introduced for the treatment of mental health conditions, particularly depression. Clozapine wasn't one of those that cropped up in the discussion. But I think you have some personal experience of clozapine.
Yes, I'm on clozapine. I've been on clozapine for a couple of years now, and I can vouch that there are significant side effects. I've suffered from blurred vision, occasional confusion, dizziness, faintness, lightness of head, irregular heartbeat. You know, the list goes on, including constipation. I'm on three or four laxatives because of the constipation induced by clozapine. It's a very good drug in many ways, because I think it does deal, and the evidence shows it deals effectively with symptoms of schizophrenia. But it's a dangerous drug as well if not properly monitored.
Can I just jump in there and ask you whether you feel the benefit of that medication outweighs the side effects? Because it sounds like you've got quite a few side effects off that.
Yeah, it's very hard to say. I think in some ways, yes, it is better, because it does reduce the level of the voices, and it helps, I think, with delusional thinking. But then you've got things like confusion and anxiety, hypersalivation, severe headaches and that sort of thing. So I'd love to say that the drug is well worth using, but I again find those side effects pretty difficult to deal with. The other thing is that as you progress along the continuum of using this drug, the side effects are supposed to dissipate over time.
Well, you've been on it now for 2 years, James. What's been your experience with the impact of the side effects?
The impact of the side effects, I vomit at I vomit a lot. When I say a lot, I would probably vomit at least two or three times a week. I have blurred vision. I have anxiety. I had anxiety before I started taking the clozapine, but I think in some ways it's made it worse. Overall, though, if anything that can put a halt on the voices and the delusional thinking and so on has got to be a good thing, because it keeps you on the straight and narrow. I think it's helped with the depression a little bit too as well.
It's always difficult, though, isn't it, to sheet home whether it's the drug that is causing a side effect like anxiety, or whether that's sort of incumbent as part of your psyche, if you like.
Yeah, that's right. And when you look down a list of people go onto Google and you look at the list of side effects of some of these antipsychotic medications, they are so wide, so varied. There are dozens of possible side effects. Doesn't mean you're going to get them all, and it doesn't mean you're going to get them all to the highest degree, but it's something to be aware of before you start taking a drug. And I think the medical profession, certainly in the psychiatric realm, are very quick to prescribe you things for various symptoms of bipolar or schizophrenia or whatever, that sometimes they force you into it. Sometimes they seduce you into taking these medications, when in fact it really comes down to a matter of trial and error for them.
Do you think sometimes that rather than actually having a suggested change of medication, if things are working, if it's not broken, don't fix it, but I'm just sort of wondering too whether it's a case of staying on the medication you're on, but maybe tweaking it up slightly?
Yes, I think so. Tweaking it up or tweaking it down or tweaking it sideways, yeah. I think that, you know, as I say, this clozapine is considered the Rolls Royce of antipsychotics, and to some degree, I think it's probably the better antipsychotic that I've used, and I've used a lot of them over the last 10 or 15 years. But, you know, I still think that we, to some degree, and this goes off topic a little bit, but to some degree we're too medicalized, we're too oriented towards the pills and the medications without taking into consideration other things and other modalities that could be introduced to help decrease the symptoms of whatever mental health issue you have.
Well, the last time we spoke to you, James, which was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about your creative pursuits, and it looks as though on Facebook you've are adopting another one, and that's poetry, in addition to your art and painting and creativity in that regard. But poetry, it's something that you've, recently discovered?
No, I've at the odd time I've written poetry in the past, but not exclusively. I haven't written a lot of poetry, but I just thought the other day, I thought about something, and I thought I might put it into a poem and see if people seem to have reacted well to it, and that's lovely. The next step is to make millions out of it, Sheldon.
Well, is the money starting to come in, is it?
No, certainly not.
The problem is trying to get publishers for all these sort of things is the difficult part.
That's right.
So you've got one of your poems there, and we actually had a little communication on Facebook. I think you asked me a question as to whether I had seen a second poem, I think, that you had uploaded, and I was unsure which one you were referring to. But you've got a poem there for us, have you?
I can give you a poem.
Oh, well, I hope you're well prepared.
Well, yeah, I'm not really quite as prepared as I thought I was.
He's dumped it on you at the 19th hour, yeah.
Yeah, here it is. It's called Decade in the Sun. I have no love for the days. They are long, dreary, dry, overcrowded days, bright with light too sharp for my eyes. The days burn my soul to ashes. They are long, the days, too long. I have no choice but to measure my days in years. You never recover from the days. They only take They age you, that's all. I woke up this morning and spent 10 years in the sun. I aged 10 years. No, 20. See my wrinkles, my limp, my squint? I cry out for the night, when nights are cooler, when the telly is better, when the food is cooked on a stove or in an oven, when the kids are in bed, when the sex just happens, when the grog flows and people sing. High on the weed, those people, they laugh, giggle, chortle, chat, shout, as they argue the toss about ephemeral things that by day sound like nonsense and by night profound. I read at night, even though it's dark all about me. I read the ones familiar with the darkness, for they know how to live in the shadow cast wide. I smoke and drink and listen to the many and varied voices that hold on their tongues the answers. Day people might be good. They might even be better than me. In fact, I'm certain of it. They are the ones who run the world. They are the kings and presidents, prime ministers and directors general of this, that, and the other thing. The day people write the laws and the roadmaps and the manuals and the scripture. They enforce and control, cajole, manipulate and take offence. Lest we forget the policy wonks, the bankers, the media, town planners, police and other maintainers of the status quo. While I sing and dance and paint and write at night, unseen, where there is space from the day people, the people who approve and disapprove. I'm paid by the day people to stay out of the way, to stand or sit at the margins with the great unwashed. I'm the great unwashed. There you go.
So you've up tremendous. You've uploaded that to Facebook.
Yes, I have. I have.
I was just going to dive in there, James, and say that when Sam Hunt finally dies, you'll be able to stand in with him, because I sort of picked up the Sam Hunt coming through when you were delivering it, which is good. It's a positive thing.
Well, thank you very much for that. It's high praise indeed.
So our feature on headlines and mental health, as I was driving to the studio, actually there was a mental health headline that if I'd had the time to do a bit of research, but I think the Independent Police Association has found against police behaviour in a cell where somebody attempted to commit suicide. And there wasn't enough care by police in the cell. So perhaps that's something that we can talk about next week in our new feature, Headlines in Mental Health, James.
Absolutely, absolutely. It'll be it's an interesting case, that one, so watch this space.
Right. Thank you again, then, from our guest appearance by broadcaster and mental health consumer advocate James Keaton.
And go knock out another poem for us for next week.
Will do. Cheers.
No worries.
Thanks.
Gotcha.
Well, let's go to a music break. We've got a bit of catching up to do in terms of music.
Well, we've got an interesting one here, actually, because I had a totally different track for you. I was going to give you Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And then when James mentioned about confusion, I thought, look, there's no other way I could do it but put ELO on. This is ELO with Confusion. You're listening to Take From Us Mental Health Radio. We broadcast here live every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on Planet FM 104.6.
It's a terrible shame. Confusion.
Yeah, confusion there from ELO. You will take it from us, of course, Mental Health Radio, 104.6 Planet FM.
And we've been talking today about generic mental health medication, and James King, our guest on Headlines and Mental Health, has mentioned clozapine. If any of our listeners have any responses to any of those comments that we've made, may want to talk about side effects, they may want to talk about their experience on new generic antidepressant medications, then you can text me on 021-976-564 or email me sheldon.brown@ember.org.nz. I always like to quote from Facebook, and here's a little quote that I picked up the other day. I am not everything that has happened to me. I am everything I became while I healed. Stronger but softer. Focused but not obsessed. A teacher but still a student. I am not broken. I am beautiful. I am a survivor. And perhaps that's a little phrase there that could be picked up by psychiatric survivors if they are still in existence. Now, we are very keen to promote the Whakatau Mai, the well-being sessions from Changing Minds, funded by the Ministry of Health. These are free virtual community events aimed at supporting well-being during and beyond COVID-19 lockdown. You can register on Wellbeing Sessions NZ anytime. It invites us to register now to access a range of sessions held in real time with people who have been there, lived that. These are Zoom online sessions, so it does require you to have downloaded Zoom and to have a camera and a sound system. It says these diverse sessions invite you to connect with others, learn and practice new skills, and start to look at things differently, one conversation at a time, all from the comfort of your own space, meaning at home. So let us connect so we may all find well-being. I'll just read that again. Let us connect so we may all find well-being. So that's the Whakatau Mai, the well-being sessions being brought to us by Changing Minds. There's a huge program. Check it out on Wellbeing Sessions NZ. And I participated in one and got a great deal of benefit from just changing my thinking about a particular challenge that I had and that I was facing.
I'm just going to try something new here toward the end, if you keep going. Just going to put a bit of Enya on in the background.
Oh, right. That'd be great. Okay. Well, the Mental Health Foundation has a campaign, Run for Mental Health. It says being active is great for your mental health. Set yourself a challenge, set up an online fundraising page and sweat it for mental health. So this could be either walking or running, could be participating in a walking or running event. It says here whether it's a fancy dress fun run walk or a fully fledged marathon, there's a whole range of events across Aotearoa you can join to get your heart pumping and fundraise for mental health. So you can scroll through those at events.mentalhealth.org.nz/donate. So this is a fundraising activity by the Mental Health Foundation called Run for Health. And there is a series of marathons coming up later this year, both in August, one in Taupo and one in Wellington. There's the Hawke's Bay Marathon, there's the Rotorua Marathon, which is very well known. You can even get involved in the Three Peaks Mountain Race in Dunedin. All of these are featured with their own event web page as well. So just go to events.mentalhealth.org.nz/home/fundraise. So that's for the fundraising, but if you want to be involved, it's events.mentalhealth.org.nz. And Mental Health Foundation's website is mentalhealth.org.nz. So we've just about come to the end of our show, talking about generic medications, an interview with Pharmac's Deputy Medical Director, Dr. Peter Murray. He's provided us with great insights into the particular generic medications, mental health medications that have been have made changes or have had changes made to them over the last 12 months. You can access that interview on planetaudio.org.nz / take it from us. I'm just thinking, actually, Declan, that you've been involved in one of those medications.
I was going to actually throw that in, just waiting to dive in behind you there. Lamotrigine, yeah, that one changed to Logum and Sertraline as well. I'm on both of those puppies. And my pharmacist said to me, look, this is a change of medication. Monitor it. If you have any problems, let us know. And each time I went in for the second and the third with the repeats, they would still ask, make sure that everything was okay. I think it was because of all the problems they'd had with some people changing over. So particularly with me living on my own, I could expire and
nobody would happen. Know.
Oh, they'd know pretty much by the end of the day, because I wouldn't be there for my regular scheduled chat with one of my friends. Yeah.
So generally you've had a pretty happy experience with switches from labelled or branded medications.
Yeah, on those I did. Mm. But so we're just about ready to leave anyway.
Thank you to our listeners for being supporting Take It From Us, and we hope we will hear from you about generic medication.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Wrap for the week. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.